Well, good afternoon. Welcome to a deadline day special of the Star Blades, I should say. After 30 days of not very much, it all seems to happen at once. James, why is it that this comes down to the last six and a bit hours every year, twice a year?
I think they just like to keep us in suspense, don't they? No, joking aside, I mean, the owner, Prince Abdullah, has made it clear in the past that he feels you get better value towards the end of a transfer window. You can agree with that or disagree with that. Personally, I'd disagree with that, but I can understand the argument the other way. But it's just the way that football seems to do its business, isn't it? I think ultimately the most important thing is, from Sheffield United's perspective, is that perhaps unlike in a previous window or the most recent window, they've actually been able to manage to get in the player that they so desperately needed without that weight having a detrimental effect upon the results.
Yeah, Danny, you can tell us a bit about the first arrival, Charlie Good, defender from Brentford. What's he all about? What sort of player is he? What's his background, etc.?
I think this is quite early for Sheffield United, isn't it, on deadline day, in terms of this is about as early as it's going to get for signing players. Charlie, from what I can gather, is not a player I've seen an awful lot of. Speaking to people who watched him play at Scunthorpe and kind of reading a bit into his backstory, it's take the football out of it. It's just a good human tale to start off with, isn't it? You know, he's come through non-league rejection from Fulham at 15, I think it was, for being too small, which, you know, if anyone sees him now at 6'5", I think he is, makes a bit of a mockery of that. And he's kind of bounced back from that disappointment, hasn't he? Worked his way back up through the leagues, you know, getting plucked from non-league, if you can put it that way, for Scunthorpe, making the move to Northampton and then being signed by Brentford. So, you know, we all know how they go about the business and how they identify players. So we obviously have something about him. The obvious kind of, you know, you don't have to listen to his podcast for us to say he'll have good aerial prowess just because of the sheer size of him. But from what we can gather, he's good on the ball as well. He likes to play football. He described himself as an old-fashioned centre-half in his welcome interview, but said he can also play with the ball as well. You know, so he kind of does both sides of that. And it'll be interesting to see how he fits in because, you know, in the next few weeks and with the games piling up, I think he'll get a chance and it'll be interesting to see where it fits in the plans. I think it's a player that Stuart McCall knows well. I think they worked together at Scunthorpe, if my memory serves right. So he obviously knows all about him and the way they work. And fingers crossed, you know, like I said, with every transfer, fingers crossed it's a good fit. And hopefully, you know, it works out for everyone.
I think the important thing with Charlie is that, as Danny said, he described himself as an old-fashioned centre-half. I would just describe him as a centre-half because, you know, the flip side of that is a modern centre-half. And I see an awful lot of modern centre-halves who they're not actually centre-halves. So they can't defend. Charlie can do a little bit of everything. He can be aggressive when he needs to be. He can also play with a ball. He can manipulate football. I've spoken to one of his former managers for a piece in the paper who said he's got a wand of a right foot. He can put the ball on a sixpence, so that's good. But it's that versatility that's the key for Sheffield United in this transfer because they were only going to be able to bring in one loan, and yet that one loan at the back was going to have to cover or provide competition or play a variety of different roles, you know, perform a variety of different positions. And that's what they've got in Charlie. It's an efficient signing, if that makes any sense.
Daniel, his first interview as well, he speaks about how much he wants to play as well. This is not a loan where it's a young man who's happy to sort of be back up. You know, his thing was, I'm leaving Brentford to play football. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of works because the back, you know, two of the back three positions kind of speak for themselves, don't they? And Jack Robinson's done a good job filling in for Ben Davies. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of dynamic works because, as he said himself, in Charlie's own words, he's not a player who's happy to just sit and watch other players play football, which, you know, I think sometimes you can level that at some players. I don't think he's one of those by the sounds of it. And it'll be interesting to see how that sort of dynamic plays out because he has to get in the team and then, you know, who will he keep out?
Well, I know you want to move on, Steve, and I know we've got to quickly rattle through some of the other business that United have done, but the good thing, the important thing is, Danny's just said, you know, two of the three positions at the back speak for themselves. They do, but they speak for themselves because there's nobody else there. I think the nice thing for me is they're going to have to speak for themselves now. Chris Basham and John Egan, we're obviously talking about. They're going to have to perform. They're going to have to show, which they have done. I mean, listen, there's no, you can't present a case at the moment for dropping either of them, but they're going to have to do it now. And that's the important thing. That is the dynamic that every squad that achieves something in football tends to have.
You almost answered the question I was going to ask, James, there. So cheers. We'll move on. Yeah. We're going to have to talk about him again. Lys Mousset. At least now we know where the land lies. He's off. Can we draw a line under the sand, Danny? I know it's going to be tinged with disappointment. And, you know, it's one of those ones where it's a case of what might have been, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But also, what might happen, you know, if he goes there and rips it up. You know, we understand there is an option there to extend the contract. At the minute, as things stand, that's obviously not going to be taken up as things, you know, as it would appear. If he goes there and rips it up, you know, who knows what could happen. But, yeah, looking back, it is a massive case of what could have been, you know. I don't really subscribe to the theory that the signing's been a waste of time, as some people, you know, are intent on trying to make out. You know, for what Lys cost versus what he gave the club, even in that purple patch in the first Premier League season, you know, even if you just take what, you know, what a goal in the Premier League is worth, you know, if you take it to its most, you know, raw kind of thing, then, you know, arguably it paid for himself. You know, I would argue that. Whether United have got their value for money in terms of what they've been paying him for the last 18 months or so, that's a different question. But overall, you know, I would still suggest the signing's been worthwhile. Does that mean that, you know, it's fulfilled everything it could have, you know, all the potential it could have had? Probably not. And as you say there, it will be a case of what might have been, because, you know, we've spoken on this podcast many times about how good Lys could have been, what it could have brought to this club. You know, in the Premier League, you know, he could, with the attributes he has, if his head was right, he could play there week in, week out in the Premier League and not look out of place at all. But he isn't, and he's off to the bottom of Serie A, with United seemingly happy to let it happen. So something's not gone right along the way. And I hope the lad himself, I hope that he sort of, you know, gets his head right, or, you know, becomes the player that everyone knows he can be, because, you know, I think we've touched on this before. He is a generally nice lad, you know, he's a generally good character around the scenes. And I think he can be, or behind the scenes, I should say, around the place. And I think he can be a good player as well, for whatever reason. That's not happened the last couple of months. But, you know, I won't back against him going there or going somewhere else after he leaves United and making a real success of it. That'd be I said it before, that'd be quite a Sheffield United thing to happen, for him to go somewhere else and rip it up and become...
Well, to be honest, if he goes somewhere else and rips it up, that option is going to get taken up, and Sheffield United would be stupid to do that. I don't know the exact terms, I'm not going to lie, of the deal that Sheffield United have done. It's been a little bit difficult to try and get sort of some info on that, but the exact terms of the deal that they've done with Salernitana, you would... They look as if they're heading back to Serie B. You know, they've got some big games coming up, especially one against Genoa. That comes up very soon, the team that's directly above them in the table. If they head to Serie B, you would think that's not such an attractive move for Lys, and possibly not such a financially attractive sale for Sheffield United either. But if Lys is sensible with this move, listen, let's take Sheffield United out of this equation and talk purely about Lys Mousset. If he's sensible about this move could be the making of him. Then again, I mean, we've said that too many times, haven't we? Because the big issue that everybody has, the big question mark over Lys, as we all know, are his lifestyle choices away from football and his fitness and conditioning. Now, I'll tell you now, fitness and conditioning, if he thinks he's going to be able to swing the lead in Italy, when it comes to that, he's going to be in for a very, very nasty shock. If he can't get into shape with an Italian club and stay in shape, And listen, you look at his Instagram messages. I know Lise obviously disputes the fact that he's not in shape. He's in a damn sight better shape than I am, but I think the concerns that United managers have had is he in footballing shape rather than, you know, sort of looking like an underwear model on social media. But he should be able to do that. He'll be given every opportunity to do that with an Italian club. And I tell you what, if he goes into Ritori with one of those at the start of the season, oh dear me, you know, we certainly will. And he completes it and he approaches it properly. We certainly will see a fit Lise Moussa coming out the other side. But again, as we've said all along, it's up to Lise. It really is. It's now the time, I think, for Lise to realise perhaps, you know, the reason why his career hasn't developed as he would have liked, which I'm sure it hasn't, it's not always somebody else's fault. You've got to take, you know, a little bit of responsibility for that yourself. And I genuinely hope he does, because as Danny said, he's a nice lad, a really good lad, and nobody wants to see genuine talent, serious talent, which he's got, go to waste.
Comment from Paul Thomas, ultimately a major disappointment. By the way, if you're watching on Facebook and you've got any questions or comments, just get them in. A possible replacement for Moussa then, Danny. Daniel Jeberson's back from Burton. I did have to say it was mildly amusing to see a sign-in video unveiled for him, given that he's already a United player. But where do you see him and his future, like the next few months? Will he play? I think that's the answer to the question everyone wants to know.
He's obviously been reformed for a reason, because that type of forward in Ryan Brewster and Lise are both unavailable. So, you know, with the greatest of respect to Billy, Dave McGoldrick and Oliver Burney, those three, you wouldn't rely on those for that sort of explosive pace. I think that's fair to say. And again, that's with no disrespect to any of the three. I think Jebo gives them something different. He's also, I think you can't underestimate the fact that he played half a season now consistently and scored goals. So he's sort of not a player. You know, if Lise came back into the side now, if he gets himself in shape, he's still not played for months. You know, he won't be up to speed. Jebo doesn't sort of have that problem. You know, he can sort of slot in. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he started on Friday, actually, away at Birmingham. See his future as being a big part of the squad. You know, he is still a young man. I think that's to be that caveat. You know, he is still kind of learning on the job. I think his acceleration, you know, his development's accelerated quite a lot, you know, since the time he came in as a rookie almost, scored that goal at Everton and then kind of that half a season under Jimmy at Burton. You know, I think you kind of forget how young he still is sometimes. I thought I do. You kind of see him as that, not season pro, obviously, but, you know, you see him as 3, 4, 5, possibly years older than he actually is. So I think there starts to be a little bit of patience there. But I think you have to look at him as what he is, you know, as a serious player. You know, he's done it in the league below. You know, if he's on for almost 20 goals a season in League One, which takes some doing. So he's obviously got a lot of ability. He'll have learned under Jimmy, I think. That was a big factor in him choosing to go to Burton in the summer to learn from Jimmy and see how, you know, those little tips and tricks, which James will be far more better placed than me to talk about, having watched Jimmy play much more than I did. But he'll have picked up a lot from the Burton manager, I believe. And now I think we'll get the chance to see how he has developed, because, you know, it does give United something they don't have with Ryan injured and with Lise gone and Ollie out the building as well, Ollie Burke. So, yeah, I think he will. He will get a chance, and quite rightly so as well, because, you know, he's shown his abilities. We know he knows where the back of the net is. And I think, you know, football fans in general, there's nothing better, is it, than seeing, you know, I know he's not a Sheffield boy. He was born quite a few thousand miles away from Sheffield, but I think it's still class him as coming through the academy and learning the Sheffield United way. It's romantic about it. I don't think it's anything better than, you know, seeing one of your own kind of come from the academy and make it in the first team. So don't be surprised at all if he starts on Friday. I'm sure he'll certainly be involved. And I look forward to seeing how he has developed, you know, during that time away.
Daniel will play. There's no doubt about that. Because otherwise, if Daniel wasn't going to play, if Daniel wasn't going to get a lot of opportunities at Sheffield United, I don't think they would have brought him back. Because clearly, if you look at the story and the comments that Paul Heckingbottom made about Daniel on Saturday night after the win over Peterborough, if you look at the fact that he obviously played for Burton that day, if you look at the fact that Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank basically admitted that he expected him to stay, Sheffield United had clearly told Burton Albion before that, before they went to Cambridgeshire, that Daniel was probably going to be staying in Staffordshire. So the very fact that they've reversed that decision, and I'm sure it was quite a difficult phone call for Paul Heckingbottom to make, tells you that the only reason they've done it is because they know that Daniel is going to get opportunities. As I said, otherwise, there was no point in bringing him back. And I'm sure that he will have learned so much from Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. One of the little stories that we've been doing and talking about over the past couple of weeks is about how Paul Heckingbottom, Stuart McCall and Jack Lester have been sort of divvying up their training responsibilities at the Randox Academy. And Jack Lester has quite rightly got a lot of praise for the work that he's done with Rhian Brewster. And we've seen some of the benefits of that before Rhian got injured. Daniel Jebison, and yeah, I'll register an interest in this, but has been working and playing under one of the greatest strikers that the Premier League has seen in our generation. And I genuinely mean that. And from what we know about Daniel, whereby he was quite headstrong in terms of where he wanted to go, the more attractive options on the table, Sunderland, you know, Bearshot, he didn't want to go there. He wanted to go to Burton Albion. That tells you that Daniel is quite a headstrong and switched on young man as well. So you know the lessons, the little ideas that Jimmy will have been passing on, that knowledge that he'll have given him, will be put to good use. And yes, he will play. Otherwise, he won't be. Otherwise, he wouldn't be. What would be the point? None.
Golden question with 6 hours to go then. Danny, are we expecting any other business?
Well, you never say never, do you, in this game? You know, there's always a chance that they'll spring something on us late on. But I think all I can wait for the window, wanting a centre-half. Obviously, the need for a goalkeeper arose when Robin Olsen, went back. Obviously, didn't end up going back to Rome, and went straight to Villa. When that happened, the need for a goalkeeper arose. So that kind of created another problem which needed solving. But yeah, he went into the window wanting the centre half. And with, you know, we've got 6 hours to the deadline, just over, if my maths is right. He's got his centre half. So I wouldn't expect anything else at this stage unless something too good to be true crops up. I think he went into this window wanting the centre half. He's got a centre half. Obviously, went into the window, wanted a permanent centre-half, came out of it with a loan one because of the switch of the kind of approach mid-window. But in Charlie, you know, it's someone who has played at this level, which was very important to him. He referenced that a few times. He said, we could have got a centre-half, but he wanted someone who knows what it's like to play in the Championship. Charlie knows what it's like to win promotion from the Championship, which I think is important as well. As it stands, I wouldn't expect anything. But also, I wouldn't fall off my chair in surprise if there was anything. Has that teased it enough? Is that?
Well, we can't rule out an early finish. Although, we better stay on the clock for a bit. James, I'll give you the final word then. Good window, all in all.
If the window closes now, right now, I would say, yeah, it's been a good one. It's not been a great one because Paul obviously wanted somebody to come in permanently, as Danny said. So it's not been marvellous. It's not been great. And that's not me putting a dampener on anything at all. But I think it's been a good one. I think it's been a good window, if it finishes now. And as you asked, Danny, you can never say never, but I would be surprised if Sheffield United do anything now, because Paul has basically ticked all of the boxes that he wanted to tick going into the window in terms of positions. So the only way that I see something happening now is if Sheffield United suddenly receive the type of bid that no Championship club can turn down for one of their players, and have a replacement available that, you know, of comparable quality that would enable them to, that would sort of make that deal sense, you know, make sense. But I think the chances are, the weight of probability is that that's it now.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, we'll bring today to a close. Thanks for listening. And make sure to stay up to date on the Stars website, just in case there is any last minute business.
I was going to say, keep reading that blog, just in case it isn't.
Just in case, yeah. You never know.